From God's perspective, are we truly assured and persuaded in our heart and minds that we are made righteous in Christ? Do we think more about our condemnation than our sanctification? Why is that? I think we are far more convinced of our badness than we are of being justified by the blood of Jesus. We often think we are far worse than God's goodness is able to overcome. A lot of people spend an inordinate amount of time thinking about their sin, truly are convinced of their sin, but merely hope in their salvation as some ethereal, distant thing which could be debatable based on the depth of their sin. Why would I say that? Consider how much time is spent and how many words are given to making sure we know how bad we are than how good God is. Are you convinced of God's forgiveness of your sins? Are you secure and absolute concerning your standing in the Lord by the blood of Jesus? Are you convinced? Through all the things that have happened in your life, are you confident and undoubtful of God's faithfulness? Maybe things didn't go like you wanted or didn't turn out as you hoped. But did God actually fail? No. Yet we doubt. Our mouths say we are convinced, but our actions and habits tell a different story.
Oh, I can't find God. I guess he wasn't serious anyway when he said always with you and never leave you. Oh, well, I guess I'll just go stand in the rain. I knew it wasn't possible.
Convinced. In Genesis 31, Jacob, having completed his agreement with his slippery, conniving uncle Laban, he secretly picks up wives, all his livestock, and goods, and beats feet out of town. Well, now this really irked Laban, so he flies out the door in hot pursuit of Jacob, because he thinks Jacob has taken things from him which aren't his to take. After chasing them for 7 days, Laban finally catches up to Jacob and all his people, accusing Jacob of wrongdoing, insisting on searching through all their stuff, trying to catch him at some underhandedness. After all his searching, he finds nothing in Jacob's stuff, wherewith Jacob hotly says in Genesis 31:37, "For you have felt through all my goods. What have you found of all your household goods? Set it here before my kinsmen and your kinsmen for all to see, that they may decide between us two." There, right there in the last sentence where he says, "that they may decide between us two." The word decide is a word used in a judicial sense, meaning convince, in the sense of two going to court together, one to prove true the accusation toward the other. God's idea of being convinced of sin is not merely of using an argument to prove someone's guilt, but God's intent in his use of the word convince comes with a far weightier pointing towards repentance and returning to the Lord. You get what I'm saying? Being convicted and convinced not only implies an exposure to sin, but more points away from sin toward God to restore the wayward to right living. We often feel the need to convince the world of their sin, but God's idea is, yes, convicted of sin, but more so to see how good God is to forgive. The upward pointing to God is far more emphasized than the downward pointing to condemnation. Proverbs 3:12. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father who absolutely delights in his son. Reproves is once, loves and delights is twice. We stop at the conviction of sin part, but the Lord advances the vision for us to step forward to see his goodness, not just our badness. To convince means to use persuasive words of wisdom and insight, like in Luke 16:31. He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." Meaning, do we really think, regardless of our gift of persuasion and much speaking, if they haven't believed the multiple testimonies previously given, even if someone were raised from the dead, do you really think that will do the trick? Then they will have that amazing aha moment. Convinced? Beating someone into submission with a club doesn't convince them of anything other than to be afraid. In 1 Corinthians 2, 4-5, Paul writes, "And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." What are the earmarks of our being convinced about who Christ is? When we are convinced, we heed and follow. When Jesus said, "Follow me," do you think, doubting, they stopped what they were doing to go after Jesus, hoping to be convinced along the way? No. The Holy Spirit did something so huge there that on the spot, they were so persuaded, they stopped all they were doing to go with the Lord. In Titus 1:16, the word disobedient is used, which from the Greek literally means unconvinced, which gives rise to lies, false teachers, and arrogance, which says, "I know better than you, and you'd better follow after me because I know and you don't, and even when I don't know, I still know and you don't." Those who do not heed and follow are not convinced and make room to achieve their own agenda, often pointing out how much others fall short, rather than how we are so loved by God, and that his forgiveness far, far outweighs our wrong. Are you convinced of whom you have believed? If you are, it is most evidenced in your heed and follow lifestyle. If I still make some room for the world, maybe I'm not nearly as convinced as I'd like to think I am. Oh my. But I will add this. The longer I heed and follow, the more I heed and follow, because I am increasingly convinced Jesus is all he says he is, and so much more. So much so that my mind can't comprehend the width, length, and height of his love for me. And at that, what do you think? Thanks for listening. I'm Social Porter with Living in His Name Ministries.